I'm Amber.
And I'm Becca.
From cranberries
to cows
and everything in between,
this is Forward Farming.
Guys,
welcome back to Forward Farming. Amber, why are we always laughing when we start recording these episodes? I don't understand.
You just got to get the sillies out, you know? We have lots of things to talk about off camera. And then once we hit record, it's just like, oh, got to get that serious face on.
It's hard to put your game face on right away.
It is. It really is. So if you're new, hi. My name is Amber, a.k.a. Cranberry Chats. I am a cranberry grower in Wisconsin. And my lovely co-host is Becca. Becca, do you want to say hi?
Hi. Hi. If you don't know me, I'm Becca. I don't know if I'm like considered a retired dairy farmer at this point. I don't know what to call myself, but in a former life, I was a dairy farmer for about 14 years. And now I work at Prairie Farms as a sales representative, and my husband and I still farm at our house. So I've got like nurse cows and beef cows, pigs, goats, chickens, the whole nine yards. So that's us in a nutshell. We have a really exciting guest tonight, and I think we kind of just wanted to introduce ourselves again. That way, when we bring our guest in, like, we kind of all know who we are, and that will help the conversation flow a little bit better. So tonight we have Sabrina Service, and she is a dairy farmer. She's an organic dairy farmer, actually, and she markets her milk to Organic Valley, which is located in Wisconsin. So Sabrina, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hello. I'm very, very excited to be here. You guys seem awesome, and I can't wait to talk with you tonight.
Well, don't set your expectations too high. I mean,
they're set really high.
Sabrina, we're mostly excited to talk to you tonight just because Becca and I are both so familiar with conventional farming. That's just something that we've both grown up or, you know, worked with primarily. So we don't hear a lot about organic farming. We kind of know the gist of things, but we're excited to kind of pick your brain a little bit more about that tonight, especially in the dairy industry. So why don't you start off by just introducing yourself, where you're from, what you do. Just give us the rundown on Sabrina.
Yeah, so I am third generation on my family's dairy farm. I graduated from UW-Madison in 2022. I was studying dairy science and life sciences communications with an ag biz certificate. I am on the farm with my dad and my two brothers right now. All three of us kids came home to the farm. My mom works off farm for her job, but she does a ton of paperwork when she comes home every day. A lot of paperwork with all farming, but especially with organic, we have a lot of different certifications we have to go through. I was going to say, yeah, so I do a lot of herd management work on our farm. We milk about 350 cows in a freestall barn with a double 10 parlor. You're talking about organic and conventional farming before. I think there's a lot more similarities than people think. There are a few things here and there. In the summertime, I do a lot of the pasturing. We have 350 cows in the milk line that have to go out on pasture pretty much every day in the summertime. So that's a huge thing we do. And yeah, I also cultivate corn sometimes and rake a lot of hay. Sometimes you'll find me on a tractor, but usually I'll be in the barn with the calves and the cows.
Cows are better anyways. How long has your farm been organic?
We transitioned to organic in 2007 is when we got on the OV truck. So we had a long history before that. My grandpa bought the farm back in the early 70s, and it's been in our family ever since then. My dad bought him out in 2002, and then in 2007, we switched over to organic.
And so that's quite a long process, right? Like, the ground has to be on organic, and I mean, do you want to kind of go through how that transition was?
Yeah, so I was a very small child at the time. You guys were making fun of me before you started recording for being Gen Z.
I was in high school then.
Graduating high school.
I am technically a 90s baby. I'm a 90s baby. I don't have an 80s Mercedes, but we're working on it. Cut me some slack. Anyways, So I would have been 7 years old when we were going through that transition. But the main facts of it are you have to have all of your fields and soils have to go through a transition period, which is huge because all of the feed you give your animals has to be certified organic, which means it's non-GMO and there's no synthetic herbicides, pesticides used on those fields during that transition time. And all of the cows also have to be transitioned as well. So they have to have all organic feed and you can't use hormones on them, can't use antibiotics on them during that time period. So the difficulty comes is while you're in that transition phase, you're technically not organic. So you're still selling your milk at conventional prices, but you're taking on the input prices of organic feed and medicine and all that stuff. So it's very difficult to get through that transition phase, but once you're through it, it's smoother sailing. And it's a huge undertaking, especially for my parents, because they were still young farmers with young kids. Like, I mean, 2007, I would have been 7 years old, even though you guys were in high school. But yeah.
What kind of certifications are required for you, and how often do you have to maintain those? I know, like, on our side of things, if we are applying any sort of product, we have to go through like a pesticide training or things like that, like every 4 or 5 years. How often is that a little bit more micromanaged for you guys? Like, are you having to do the same type of trainings and recertification processes?
Yeah, so we are certified organic through Oregon Tilth is our organic certifier, and we have to get recertified every year. So right now our certification has been scheduled and we have to make sure everything, all of our paperwork's in order for that because they come out and they go through everything. Okay. All of the medicine on our farm has to be certified organic and it has to have been approved by them. They have an approval list. Some certifiers have different approval lists depending on, where they're at and what kind of products they might be working with. So we have to have all of that documented. If we start using something new, we have to message them and say, hey, we're using this new herbal remedy that's on the market. Can we get it approved? And they'll say yes, or they'll say no. The biggest kicker for us in getting stuff approved is going to be artificial sweeteners and artificial colorings and some of the like calf electrolytes and stuff, which really sucks because somebody will be like, oh, have you tried this product? It's really awesome. And go through the ingredient label and, oh, there's an artificial something in there and that'll knock us down. But for the most part, we've been very successful finding products that work really well for our animals that fit within those organic certifications.
I think that's a big thing that not only organic are trying to use, but a lot of conventional farmers too are trying to get away from these antibiotics because not only are they expensive, but you don't want to have like a milk withhold or a meat withhold. And so I know when I was still on the dairy, we were, I don't know if you've heard of AHV. It's like, it's really big in New Zealand and other places that the cows are on pasture a lot, but it is an organic product. And we were using that quite frequently just because of how well it worked. It was pretty comparable in price to, you know, just using regular antibiotics, but, you know, just not having that meat withhold and like not having to deal with antibiotics and like thinking about antibiotic resistance and all that kind of stuff. So I love that herbal remedies and that kind of thing is, it's just gaining more popularity regardless if you're organic or not.
Yeah, there's some really cool stuff that we can use. Like we have these salves. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Sarah Essentials at all, but she has like some really cool salves out that we can use. Dr. Paul has a couple of like herbal remedy mixes that we might use with our calves every now and then. But for the most part, outside of aspirin and the occasional Banamine, we haven't really had many health issues on our farm as of late. So that's
can you knock on awesome, wood, right?
Sometimes when it's really hot out, I can do a little electrolyte mix and give that to them to, you know, make sure they're keeping all their salts and minerals in them. But for the most part, most of our health is preventative over treating something serious right now.
Yeah, I know for us, I know for us, we have to follow a global list of products that we can apply just because we do trade overseas. How is that for the organic side of things? Like, is it just more, does your product stay in in the United States, or do you ship worldwide? I guess maybe that's more of an Organic Valley question, since that's who you work with. But do you know that side of things? Like, do you have to follow certain countries' regulations, or is it mostly just here in the United States?
So our milk is being sold in the United States. I know. Organic Valley does have a presence in other countries across the world. There was a time when we were China certified. So our milk was certified to be, we met the guidelines to sell our milk or have it shipped to China to be sold. I don't believe they're currently doing that though. So that certification is irrelevant at this time. But yeah, there was for a while where we were able to ship our milk to China if there was a demand over there.
Cool. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's rewind gears a little bit. So growing up on a farm, you're third generation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you grew up in that atmosphere working alongside your dad and brothers and grandpa. Did you know since, as long as you can remember, this is what you wanted to do? Or is it something kind of later in life that you were like, yeah, you know, I think I could see myself coming back here. What was your childhood like?
When I was little, I wanted to open a restaurant in the worst way, and I wanted to put it at the little turnaround spot in our farm driveway so all the employees could come and eat there. That's like my earliest occupation I wanted. But no, I didn't want to be a farmer growing up. I remember when I was little, I'd stay home from school in the summertime and I'd want to stay at grandma and grandpa's house and hang out with grandma instead of going outside. And then when I got older, probably when I was 7 or 8, dad had us doing evening chores. Me and my three brothers, we'd feed calves every night. Every night we'd like get home from school, bring cows in, eat dinner quick, if the cows were out. I mean, school year isn't really pasture season, but every night we'd get home from school, eat dinner, and then we'd go do chores for like an hour, hour and a half. And then we'd come in, maybe do some homework. And go to bed and wake up the next day and do it all over again. And, you know, like, we were little kids. Like, my little brother Jackson was probably, like, 5 years old. Zach, my older brother, was probably 7, 8 years old at the time. And, you know, we were little kids fighting like dogs, feeding calves. I would feed all the bottle calves. My older brother would feed all the buckets. And we were so inefficient. We'd have, like, maybe 30 calves, 40 calves at a time. And Zach could only carry 4 buckets of milk up the hill to the calves, and I could only carry 2 bottles. And, you know, you don't really think about it. We were doing that every night of the week, and then the weekend mornings, too. And it was just something we did. And, you know, I hated feeding calves. I was like, I'll do anything you want, Dad, but I'm not feeding calves. That's kind of what I'd be like when I was coming up with. Anything you want, but I'm not feeding calves. I feed calves every morning now. So yeah, I didn't want to come home to farm. I got into high school. I did show choir, was my passion when I was in show choir on stage, singing and dancing. I loved doing that. And then I got to college. I did communications, and I looked into doing a theater certificate. Didn't pan out. That's okay. But I remember I called my mom. Kind of how it went for me sticking with dairy science is, my older brother was in the program. His now wife had just graduated from the program. And in October, World Dairy Expo hires in students to work that event. I don't think people realize how much of the labor there is college kids trying to earn an extra buck. And I called mom after this, and I was like, I was so frustrated from the week I just had work at Expo. I was like, I don't know, Mom. I think I have to stick with this, because if I don't, who's going to do it? So it started out as like a little bit of spite kept me in the major. And then like as I was continuing on, I was like, you know, I really don't want to work anywhere else but at home. And actually what really was the hit the nail on the head was I was interning with Organic Valley. I was the public relations intern under Liz McMullen. And I was sitting in the office and I was like, God, I wish I was home right now. Like, I wanted to be outside. I wanted to be with my family, with the other employees, putting cows out on pasture, hearing all the drama, having fun, you know, all that stuff. And I just realized how much I missed being home on the farm during the summer. Because, you know, I was in college when the COVID-19 pandemic was, and I spent a lot of my sophomore and junior year home. And because of that, like, I was out on the farm. Like, I was taking summer classes during 2020. So I'd like wake up in the morning at 5 a.m. and bring cows in from night pasture. And then I'd go back to sleep for a couple hours. And then I'd go work for the day. And then I'd let cows out again at night. And then I'd do my homework and go to bed and repeat the cycle over and over. And, you know, just being around all of that, you really don't realize what you had until it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what brought me back to the farm. Messy story, right?
But no,
that's,
I love it. That's how I love it,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I can totally relate to that. And I love that feeling of just being pulled back home when you know it's time. I had that similar experience. So totally relate to that. How has it been, that transition, working back home with your family? I know that's a touchy subject for a lot of upcoming generations, but not only do you have to work with your dad, you're also working alongside your brothers. Do you still love each other at the end of the day?
You know, my mom said the other day, she said something like, I understand why people say they need popcorn when they watch you guys, because it's so funny watching me and my brothers interact, because no one knows you better than your siblings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we were fighting in the trenches together as little kids, feeding calves and pitching pens, and cows are out and it's Easter Sunday and we're still in our church clothes and we're running all the, like, we've been through the trenches together. We know each other great. Yeah, I'd say we get along pretty well. All three of us are very different. My older brother's kind of like a jack of trades. I'm not going to say he's good at everything he does, but he's capable with everything he does. I can't say he's good at anything. He's my older brother. I do a lot of the herd management stuff. I work with the calves and the cows. Like, I have the patience to do that. Like I said before, I cultivate corn in the summer. We can't spray our fields for anything. So I have to go out and cultivate. And the reason I'm the one who cultivates is I'm the only one who has the patience to do it, aside from my dad. My brothers don't have the patience to not run over the corn. So that's why I'm stuck doing it. My little brother is a grease monkey. He's a shop boy. He went to the local trade school for diesel mechanics, and he came home after as well. So I'll give this to Jackson. Jackson's a jack of all trades. You can throw him anywhere and he'll figure out how to do it. Like, it's crazy the things that kid can do. My car's broken, he'll fix it for me. But more importantly, he's fixing tractors. He's fixing machinery that hooks onto tractors. He can fix the skid steers. If a truck's down, he can figure out how to fix that. We use a pasteurizer when we feed our calves. He's so good with fixing that thing. He can dig out all the pieces, and it's all computer stuff too, right? So he can figure out that computer stuff. He can figure out the mechanical stuff. He's pretty good.
So what you're saying is that your parents really lucked out with all three of you, because you all fit in your own little categories and you still work together well. That sounds like a dream, honestly. Yeah.
Some days it is. Other days I'm stuck in the field at a tractor going, Jackson, what's going on? You know the Bernie Sanders meme of him sitting in the chair with his gloves and the brown coat, and the memes of me sitting waiting for dad to show up and help? It's me, but I'm waiting for my little brother to come help me. And he'll show up and he'll be like, oh, what did you do now? Like, you're so dumb. And then he'll like pull me out of the field and fix everything up. And I just stand there and he'll be like, grab me a wrench. And I'll run to the truck and I'll dig out a wrench and I'll bring it up. And he'll be like, ugh. And then he'll fix everything. God, it's great.
I love that. I have to do that with my dad too. I'm like, Dad, come get me. I'm stuck. And he's like, well, get this, this, and this ready. And I'm like on my phone Googling images. Like, what is this? What type of wrench is this? Like, what are you asking?
No, the worst thing though is when I'm bringing cows. We're getting sidetracked, but that's aside the point.
That's fine.
I'll be bringing cows in from pasture. Something will go horribly wrong and the cows are running all over the feed bunker. And I'll be like, Dad, all the cows are out. It's just me. Like, come back and help. He'll be like, I'll be there in a little bit. And then I'm like, what does a little bit mean? Does it mean like an hour or does it mean like 5 minutes? So then I'm mad and I'm just stomping around like, nobody helps me back here. And I'm bringing cows in and then Dad shows up nick of time, and maybe he has my brother in tow or one of the employees, and we round everyone up and put them away, and all's good in the world. But all's yeah, good. Those stressful times when you suddenly are like, shoot, I messed up, and I'm all alone, and I need help, and you're worried about making people mad. Yep, I live for those.
Yeah, it's always the dad that swoops in at the end of the day to just save everything. That's yep. just the dad's job.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of kids, Becca, how you holding up?
Doing great. Jack fell off the couch. I got him to stop crying, but then he kept talking to me in here, so I just put him back out, and now he's crying under the door, so I'm sure.
It's all That's good. It's all good. Good.
Hey, I'll say Liz's cat was gnawing at the door a little bit ago, too. I don't know if you guys heard that, but...
Speaking of cats...
How's your cat?
Do you have a cat?
I do. Okay, so she's the face of the podcast. She always comes in here, shows her butt off to everybody. I'm in her litter box room. This is my cat's room. And every time I sit down to record, she comes in and just makes the stinkiest stink you've ever smelled in your entire life for an 8-pound cat. And it's just, it's delightful. It smells like air freshener in here all the time. So. Sidetrack. Speaking of sidetrack, let's talk more about cat poop.
Let's talk about farm cats, because I could go on that topic for a while. My mom's going to be disappointed I brought this up. I have 20 farm cats. I take good care of them. They all have names. Yeah, I'm serious. I take good care of my barn cats.
I do. I feed mine every day.
They get kitty food in the morning, and they get a little bit of milk at night. They're really good mousers, even better at catching birds. They all greet me in the morning when I go to feed calves. I have one that follows me down to the milk parlor. He's not allowed in. I've sprayed him with the hose enough times. But he sits at the door and he meows at me until I give him a little bit of leftover milk from the pasteurizer. And then when he finishes that, he sits and he meows at me again. So I have to fill his dish up again. And I do this all on my own free will. I'm like, oh, you stinky cat. And I'll give him some scratchies and we move on with it. But yeah, cats are the best and the worst.
Do you have a farm dog?
Yeah, her name's Lori. She gets along well with the cats. She likes to steal their milk every now and then, but she's a herd dog, and she's the best dog.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of, like, herd dogs, not to kind of change the subject and get into pastures, hopefully you guys didn't talk about this already, but obviously, I know being organic, there's, like, a certain amount of days that the cows have to be out in pasture. I'm curious, I mean, I know, like, obviously they get hay and stuff. Does it depend, like, where you are and what your climate is of, like, how often they have to be out on pasture? Like, is it different for someone down south that has access to pasture longer, or is it still the same amount of days?
So, across the board, it's supposed to be 180 days. If you have drought or some other issues, you can petition and say, like, hey, like, this past summer, we had all that drought. We're like, hey, there's a ton of drought here. We might not have hit our dry matter intake on how much pasture grass the cows are supposed to be getting. Or you might have kept them in a couple extra days just because it was too hot outside. We can do that if we have to. But they're supposed to go out around 180 days.
Record it all?
You know, yeah, like- I record every day which pasture they were in. I have a little notebook. I write down which pasture they were in, what day it was. I was getting really aggressive for a while, and I had, like, the times, and I'd sign it and everything. But I've calmed down since then. But, yeah, I am tracking, and I write down reasons they'll stay in. I'll be like, oh, it's too hot, or, oh, it was pouring rain this day, and stuff like that.
I think that's good that, like, there are exceptions, because I've seen some people that are like, oh, organic cows have to be outside no matter the conditions. Like it's a bad thing. Sorry. I got excited and threw my microphone. Like, it's a bad thing, like, just to try to slander it, but I think it's important to know that, like, you guys are still keeping the cow's best interests at heart. Like, I'm sorry, Amber, stop laughing.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of misconception around how we treat our animals, because everyone's like, oh, like, organic people aren't going to treat their animals because... No, that's not true. Most organic farms are required to keep, like, antibiotics on hand for last resort. So if you have an animal and you're like, I know antibiotics can save it, I've exhausted all other methods, treat the animal, sell it to some other conventional farm.
Well, and the thing is, you're losing money if you're not treating your animals right.
Yeah.
If your animals are stressed, not healthy, it doesn't matter how you farm. Mm-hmm. If they're not being well taken care of, you're not going to get milk, you're not going to get paid, you're not going to have a farm. I think, yeah, like, it's so frustrating when people, I hate that argument about organic farming. Yeah, we're a
business. Like, yeah, we have to take care of our cows if we're going to succeed. And we love our cows.
Yeah.
We love our cranberries. We love our goats and our chickens and our sheep and our beef. They are our livelihood. They are what we grew up with. Like, they're our dogs and our cats. They're our pets and we love them. And I think people forget that all the time. Like, they try to villainize farmers and they try to pit organic and conventional farmers against each other. And, you know, like Secretary Vilsack said once, like, I think of the two as my sons. Like, I love them both, even though they're different and they both have their places. Like, and we need to be respectful of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a organic farmer kind of like the next town over from us. And I've bought a lot of her bull calves before, but I also buy any like heifer calves if she has to treat them as calves, you know, for pneumonia or whatever mm-hmm. it be. She calls me and is like, hey, like, I want this calf to go to a good home. Obviously, I can't utilize it anymore. And so then I go get it. It just, it's not like they're just like mistreating the animals, you know, they're doing the very best they can. And at the end of the day, like, yes, I'm sure you're semi losing money if you have to sell off a heifer calf or something that you are expecting to turn into a cow, but that's the name of the game for any kind of farming. You know, you have livestock, you're going to have dead stock and things that just don't work out.
Yeah.
I hate that quote, but it's been pounded into me.
No. Yeah. And somebody said that the other day too. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, truth hurts, right? You gotta, mm-hmm. you said that's the game, right? Dad always says, he goes, that's farming. That's the business.
My old boss, if anytime something stupid would happen, something would break or a calf would die or something, he'd be like, well, they won't do that again. Like, you're right. Thank you.
Oh my God. That's funny.
But
anyway, I'm going to ask you my favorite question to ask anybody with cows. Don't think I'm dumb. I know the difference now. What brand of cows do you have?
Brand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like kind of an inside joke.
It's a long-running joke. Okay, so I live in Wisconsin. I've grown up in Wisconsin. And before I met Becca, I didn't know what different types of cows were called. I just thought they were called brands, like the variety.
Okay. When you said brands, I thought you meant like freeze brand, heat brand, freeze
what
brand.
What type of cow do you have?
So we have Holsteins. I have Jerseys because I love brown cows. We have Holsteins. I like the red and white Holsteins too, so we have a couple of those in there. My dad went through a Fleckvieh phase where he was crossbreeding some of those in, so we have a couple crossbreeds, and we took it a step forward, so we have what we call Hojovies, and they're Holstein, Jersey, Fleckvieh, triple cross, and they're very interesting personality, but they're just kind of fun to see in the barn every now and then because they have like some fun speckles, and then they have like this gray purplish coat and they're really pretty. So yeah, those are fun. I had a Guernsey for like a couple of years. She had to wear a bell because otherwise the Holsteins would beat her up in the freestall. So her name was Lotus, and she had a big cowbell on her neck, and you could hear her coming in and out of the parlor, and just she was top dog with that thing on. But no, Holsteins and Jerseys were a black and white herd.
Guernseys are just, I've had a couple in my day. I won't ever have them again, but they just, you almost feel bad for them sometimes, you know?
Catch me up. What is this kind of cow? What do they look like?
They're kind of, they're tall and frail is how I think of it. Like, they're kind of like that tall, skinny, awkward kid in high school. And they never grew out of it. That's what a Guernsey is. And they're kind of like a soft orangey and white color.
Oh, okay.
So they're, yeah.
They're the creamsicle cows. They just,
they don't have like a huge will to live, I have found. Do you think that there are like cows that, or breeds, I should say, that do better like as organic animals, or like, you know, do better on pasture and stuff like that? Just feed wise, or I mean, is it just more of a management thing?
From what I've heard, there's a lot of people who prefer the Jerseys just because they're smaller and easier to work with, and they don't need as much feed. Mm-hmm. So I think they do better on the grass. Most people I've talked to, as in my dad and his friends, will say it's a management style thing. Because they'll make jokes whenever my jersey has a bull calf. They'll be like, oh, there goes nothing. Because, you know, you send it to the sales barn and there goes nothing because it's not worth a whole lot. But
I've heard that meat is really good, though. You should raise it.
The what?
The meat. I've never finished out a jersey, but I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, we did that once. I had this one and we named it too. His name was Elliot and we raised him on grass for beef. But we do Angus crosses, so we keep them. So right now, we have three we're raising for beef. We have this pretty red calf that was born, and I was like, Daddy, he's super cute. Can we keep him? And we kept him. And his name's Red. And then we have two Angus calves that I said, Daddy, these ones are cute too, and I know we need beef calves. Can we keep them? So we have Red, and we have Bonnie and Clyde are the two little beef calves. And they actually got out yesterday. I was like leaving my parents live off the farm, but I go over there for lunch every day because it's like half a mile down the road. So it's like leaving mom and dad's house from eating lunch. And I just see them out. And I was like, oh no. And I called dad. I was like, I'm going to need help. And he's like, okay, we'll see if you can get them in by yourself first. And I was like, oh no. So they're just up and down, like sprinting up and down these big rolling hills because I live in the driftless region of Wisconsin and we're on a ridge. So it's just all these hills and they're running all over the place. They're having a blast and it's 10 degrees out. And oh my gosh. And then I called dad. I was like, you need to get over here. I need help. And him and my brother showed up. But cripes, those guys had fun. And they're on, like, they have pasture access and they have like a big corral they can go out into. And then they have like a barn access and everything. So they're outside running around all day. And I guess that wasn't good enough for them.
Grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah. As soon as we put them back in, they're sitting at the gate trying to open it again.
Oh, that's too funny.
But no, we do raise a little bit of beef, though, for us.
Silence.
Hey, Amber, I have a quick question for you. Is it still true that Wisconsin produces enough cranberries for every person in the world to put 9 in their hands?
What?
I heard that fact a long time ago, and I still use it to this day.
Never heard of that before?
Oh, okay.
You're going to have to ask your ocean spray people.
I will. I've honestly never heard that before. That's interesting. How long ago did you hear that?
I was in 4th grade.
Oh. Oh, so that was just like 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I'm just a youngin'.
Honestly, I have no idea. I know Wisconsin still leads cranberry production. I don't know about the 9 cranberries thing, though. That's interesting. I'll have to do my research. Okay. Let me get back to you on that. How's that?
Okay. Yep. Next harvest, count every single berry that you put through.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'll email you.
Do a little math.
Post it on your Instagram page, and I will check my search lookup page every day and see it. Oh, look, Amber finally posted it. It'll be like a flag. But I'm teasing.
I'll add you to my close friends list so then you can see it right away.
Okay, cool.
I feel honored because there's only like 20 people on that list. So
I'm so cool.
Am I on it?
Pretty great for a toddler.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know, I will
say, love how you're roasting us for you being young. Like,
oh, I'm great at self-deprecating humor. That's how I get along with my brothers. But you know, when I was interning with OV, I'm like, oh, I'm such a baby compared to these people. And now I'm like going through this crisis. Like, I'm 24. I'm like, oh my God. In like a few years, I'll be over 25. And then my cool factor of being young is going to be gone. And then I'm going to be 30. And then I'm not going to be cool anymore. I was like talking to somebody. I was like, yeah, a high schooler made fun of me the other day. And she's like, ah, it's just going to keep happening. Get over it.
Here we are.
Yeah. Speaking of OV, I get to drive by. Is that like the headquarters that's up in
Cashin?
Cashin.
So that's called COB. It stands for Cashin Office Building. The headquarters are actually in Lafarge, which, if I'm correct, is an even smaller town than Cashin.
It's so hard to believe. Started
middle of nowhere, exactly where we started. That's where we're going to be.
But who, like, designed that building? Because the whole, like, campus is just, I love driving by it. It's so cool.
So you have the office building there, and then the other part is the distribution center. So it's actually, is it 11 stories, Liz?
Yeah.
It's 11 stories of automated packaging and sorting and all that fun stuff. So it's not like huge 11 stories. It's like 11 stories of varying heights and everything. And then is that also where the ghee? We have the largest ghee manufacturing plant in North America. I'm quite sure. Yeah, it's called CAF is what they call the building. But yeah, Organic Valley's ghee, super cool stuff. It's an Indian process of clarifying butter. So cool beans.
I've seen, like, I don't know if it's like influencers using it or like nutrition people, but I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever tried it though. I'll have to look out for it.
It's pretty cool stuff. It's like almost butter, but it's not butter.
Do you like use it as butter?
Yeah, you can. You can use it as a spread. You can use it. I think like what most people use it for is like cooking eggs and stuff in your pan and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. I love Organic Valley butter, by the way. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's like very gold. I was like going through a butter crisis a while ago, and then I went to this OV event and they made butter boards and they had bread, and I was just like, oh, this is great. This is almost as good as cheese.
Okay.
I would eat butter by the stick if I could. It was not societally frowned upon.
My
socially
child
frowned upon.
Has done that before. Like, not a whole stick because I caught him, but, like, grabbed. I had it on the counter, and he just grabbed it and, like, took a chunk out of it. And I was like, probably not good for you.
Yeah, no. Butter's great. Love it in pie. You can use ghee in pie, too, I think. Yeah, some of our farmers use the ghee in pie for pie crusts.
Mm-hmm.
But, no.
Amber, your next cooking series.
You know.
You're going to need to use ghee.
My next idea is we went up to Kohler this last weekend, or like somewhere up in like northeast. I don't know where it is, honestly. By Sheboygan. And I had a cruffin for the first time. A game changer. I've never heard of that. It's a crescent roll muffin. So I wonder, so I'm like, I can make this at home. This is going to be so easy.
My mom made some of those one time, and she's like, it's a cruffin, and she was so excited about it. We're like, wow, good
a cruffin.
This sounds awesome.
So is there, okay, I'm gonna ask you before I find out for myself, is there like, does ghee perform differently like in like a crust type thing than butter would? Like, is there a big difference? Can you tell? Do you know?
I don't really think so. I mean, it's clarified butter, so it's gonna be like softer. Yeah, it should be fine.
Just experiment, it'll be okay.
It has a higher smoke point.
Oh,
so
does that mean like a higher melting point too?
I was gonna say, is that gonna be in my favor or against?
I'd say it's in your favor.
It's harder to set on fire.
Fun fact, Liz is sitting, you guys can cut this out later. Liz is sitting next to me dropping little facts every now and then, so I don't
get
lost.
She's like shaking her head like you guys.
She's got a little
white porn just holding up, say this.
Yeah, she's not saying everything for me. It's just when I make fun of myself and when I need facts. The cranberry fact was my own thing, though. That was...
I appreciate it.
I'm like interested to know if that's true.
I've been telling people this for years, so it should be true. Don't ask Sabrina anything about cranberries.
If you say it confidently enough, people are not going to question you. That's what I've learned.
One of my other favorite farm facts to just drop is like Wisconsin produces enough cheese that if it was its own country, it would be ranked third in the world for cheese production behind the U.S. and France and then Wisconsin.
We do love our cheese.
I love cheese so much. That's how I consume most of my dairy, is probably cheese.
Yeah.
Should we do some rapid fire questions, Becca?
Sure.
Okay, because now I gotta know, what's your favorite kind of cheese?
Cheddar. Oh my gosh, sharp cheddar. Oh, and it's got that little sour quality to it. Oh my gosh, I love that stuff. Aged. Okay, Organic Valley has this thick cut I think it's aged cheddar, and it's like the white cheddar too. Oh my gosh, game changer. Potato soup, bomb. Sandwiches, bomb. It's Lent season, grilled cheese, bomb. Stuff's fantastic.
Okay, since we're talking about cheese now, if you're having cheese curds, are they fresh or are they fried?
I'll take them either way. If they're fresh, wrong answer. I'll hear the squeak. But hey, hold on. When I worked at OV as an intern, there was one of the girls was in the food. She was like the food science intern, and she was working on provolone. So she'd just be like, hey, Sabrina, I just made this provolone today. Here you go. And she dropped like a gallon bag of provolone cheese on my desk, like curd form. Not pressed, just the curds. Like this stuff was warm, fresh off the press provolone. And it was a curd.
I'll go home and make a pizza immediately.
What was your favorite work perk of being an intern there?
Work just perk.
Was it just like the random gallon bags of cheese that just dropped off?
No, I would say it'd have to be the milk. They have milk in all the coolers on all the floors in the office building. So I could just drink milk whenever I wanted. And they had the chocolate milk out. So I could like sneak down into the cafeteria and just drink copious amounts of chocolate milk while I was working there. Fantastic. Sometimes they'd slip new products in here and there and you'd get to try that stuff out too. It's a bomb.
I feel the same way. I'm at Prairie Farms and I'm like in the office half the time. But the like fridge in the break room always has milk in it. And like new products come, I mean, and you have to try them, like especially as a sales rep, so that you like know what they are or whatever. But we got our iced coffee in, and I was just like, immediately, yes, I need both flavors. I need to try them.
I love the Organic Valley's French vanilla creamer. I don't drink coffee. I'm starting to drink coffee. My friends are making me drink coffee.
Now you are getting old.
Yeah, a little bit of coffee creamer in there. Oh, bomb.
So I gotta ask, is Organic Valley, is it like a regional brand or is it kind of across the U.S.? Is there like other big organic like processors like Organic Valley in other regions? Or
so we're gonna take a step back and look at the business structure here. So, dun, dun, dun. Back in 1989, a group of farmers upset with the current setup of the farm agriculture industry decided that they were going to start their own organic cooperative, and they called it Crop Cooperative. At the time, crop stood for Coulee Region Organic Produce Producers because they grew produce. 1988.
Oh, you were so close.
I was so close. Crop now stands for Coulee Region Organic Producer Pools because they have branched off into dairy, meat. They still have some produce, and there's one other. And they have a grower pool, which is like grains and field crops for other people's animals. But anyways, from Crop Cooperative, Organic Valley and Organic Prairie are the two brands that the Crop Cooperative sells their products under. So Organic Valley is technically just a brand for the Crop Cooperative. So within Crop, there are four member pools. There is the meat pool. There's the egg pool. There is the dairy pool, which is the largest pool. And then there is the grower pool, which is going to be those crops and such. So biggest competitors would be Horizon Organic, which was recently bought.
Spill the tea.
Oh, I forgot. There's a produce pool too, but it's Horizon Organic is probably going to be the main competitor. So, but when it first started, there was no organic agriculture. So Organic Valley actually helped the USDA write all of the rules and regulations surrounding what defines organics in the U.S., which is pretty cool.
Cool. I didn't know that.
All right, back to our rapid fire questions now that we got a history lesson on Organic Valley, which
they'll never know. Like,
that was super interesting.
I wasn't even alive for it, so
I think I asked because like you said, I guess I do see Horizon Organic, but like it's mostly just organic value around here. Obviously, there's some like great value organic milk and stuff like that, but for the most part, it's organic value in this region. So I didn't know like how widespread it was.
Yeah. And the cool thing about organic value as well is we sell a lot of ingredient. So like some of our product will go to supplement brands like Annie's, any of their milk necessity products. So like their mac and cheese or maybe their cheesy crackers, if they have like some kind of powdered cheese or something in it, the cheese is probably made from our milk.
Awesome.
Cool. I didn't even think about that. That's a real cool side venture.
Yeah. And we do have farms in 31 states, so we're pretty spread out around the country. So
okay. Pretty big
deal. Are there like plants all around then too that make different product and stuff?
Yeah, so we do a lot of third-party plants. We do have a plant in McMinnville, Oregon. And then we have a butter plant in Chaseburg, which is like 3 miles from where I live. So that's pretty cool. And then we have the distribution center and all that, but that's not really doing a lot of work with the milk.
Okay. Cool. I just always think of Organic Valley as like in Wisconsin, just because it's Wisconsin. I didn't know it was so widespread across the country. Very cool. Yeah, okay, and we're back to rapid fire questions.
Okay. Just because my husband came back with Culver's for dinner. Ooh. I know. It's his turn to cook tonight. What is your go-to custard flavor when you go to Culver's?
Chocolate. Always chocolate.
That's it.
Anywhere I go. Chocolate.
What's your favorite flavor of the day?
Chocolate.
Oh, just plain chocolate.
I don't get anything else. I go in there, I say, hello, can I get a chocolate and a cake cone? And they'll be like, you want a waffle cone? I go, no, I want a cake cone. One scoop chocolate on a cake cone. Every time.
Can I just say, I actually had Culver's for lunch today. Only because I was driving by and the flavor of the day was chocolate volcano.
Oh, I love chocolate volcano.
I can't not stop when it's chocolate volcano. Like, that is the best flavor in the world. All right, my last question for you. It's kind of like the last. Do you shop at Quick Trip?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you buy their milk sometimes?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had their chocolate milk?
If you're in a pinch?
Yes.
Green cap or brown cap?
Green cap. Because my mom always.
We're done. We're Here's done.
My mother, Lisa Service, works in a milk testing lab. So there's a few things she's particular about. I will never drink raw milk because of Lisa. And I will always get green cap milk because of Lisa. I don't know the specific reason behind that, but always the green cap. But my mother also never bought whole milk for us growing up. We always drank skim milk. Like, we were keeping the skim milk alive for a while there. But now we have adjusted to 2%. And when we first started drinking 2%, I was like, this is so gross. It doesn't taste like water. But now I'm like 2% for life. I got a gallon, I got a half gallon of whole milk at home right now. And I'm like, oh, I got to work on drinking this, but it's not 2%. I'm using it on like cream sauces and stuff right now, though.
Well, tell your mom that I'm a fan of her just because of that. So
she'll be happy to hear that. She's always looking for fans.
She got a new one.
All right, Sabrina, thank you so much for taking the time to be on with us tonight. I learned so much. I hope you had fun. And before we let you go, do you want to just tell people where they can follow you and maybe Organic Valley on social media?
Yeah, so if you want to follow me, I think I'm pretty boring, but I'm on social media as Sabrina_Fajita. I came up with that name when I was in middle school. I'm very proud of it. Part of the perks of being young is you grow up with social media. If you want, you can follow Organic Valley on multiple socials. They have YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And if you do follow them, I do some of what's called Farm Cam for them. And it's where I make farmer videos and I send them to them and they put them on social media. So right now I have this pretty cool Valentine's Day video that was kind of scoping around for a while. And I got like a big fun headband on and I am making pickup lines with Organic Valley products. And it's pretty funny. And my dad thinks it's the best thing ever. So go check out the social medias, even if it's not just Organic Valley. Check them out for me So thank you all. And thanks for having me. This has been great. This is so much fun. My face is cramping from smiling right now.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much again for taking time with us. We had a great time talking to you and learning a little bit more about the organic side of life. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're not following us already, go give us a follow on Facebook, Instagram, or on YouTube as well over at Forward Farming Podcast. You can find me over at Cranberry Chats and Becca is over at Becca Hilby. And if you haven't left us a rating and review yet on your favorite podcast streaming platform, we'd love to see that. It really helps us out and keeps us going. So thank you guys so much for listening and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.